This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Friday, August 30th, 2024. The memorial of Saints Margaret Clitheroe, Anne Line, and Margaret Ward. By Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, that of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The first reading today from 1 Corinthians, Paul opens his letter. God sent me to preach the gospel, not in wisdom of speech, lest the cross of Christ should be made void. St. Paul uses these words because he'd tried something and it didn't work. He tried to, and he was in the Areopagus, and he tried to spread the gospel by philosophy, by sort of throwing out a bunch of facts. And not only did it not work, he started a riot. After that happened, he said, I will do nothing but preach Christ and him crucified. So that's why he says, God sent me to preach the gospel, not in wisdom of speech, lest the cross of Christ should be made void. The cross of Christ has to be manifest, and it does not manifest well in words. Yes, indeed, we should know facts about it. But we need to first and foremost live the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the saints have done, particularly the martyrs. They have lived the cross of Christ. They have given their very lives for what they believe. This is today's memorial, for instance, the three saints from the time of the so-called Reformation in England. This is why our Lord picks such individuals to make his statement. Not a one of them was a theologian. Not a one of them had any kind of education. Not any one of them was anything but a devout Catholic. Devout Catholic housewives who went to their death for the faith. In that first reading, St. Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 29, and he talks about what God will do. And in context of this, it was when ancient Israel, they were surrounded on all sides by enemies, and they were thinking about making an alliance with Egypt. And our Lord, through the prophet, spoke to the king and said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Why? Because all the wise men were telling, yeah, we need to make, look at all these people. Egypt's got a bunch of soldiers. They have cavalry. We don't have anything. They have heavy weapons. We don't. Let's be an ally with them. Although God had prohibited that in the wisdom of the wise. That's what you do. It's common sense. God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. They don't make an alliance in Israel one because God was fighting for them. This is how we need to look at it. This is the reality of our faith. He does destroy the wisdom of the wise. You look at these three ladies, and two of our rooms are named after two of them. I was kind of bummed out that I couldn't name three, but I'd wanted to do some other things with some of the other rooms. And I was like, well, I'll just name one after all three of it. Two of them are there, but the other third one is in my heart. I actually speak about her more today than I will. Margaret Ward, the story of Margaret Clitheroe and Anne Line are pretty dramatic, and they're talking about Margaret Ward is sort of on the down low. But nonetheless, and as a matter of fact, being on the down low is what Jesus likes from us. That whole humble thing, he likes when we're on the down low. We look at these women, and what they did was demonstrate priorities. They demonstrated priorities to the extreme. For most people, their priorities of, are you going to do what God says, or are you going to do what you want? And I'm always pointing out, and I will continue to point out, this is a marked difference between Protestants and Catholics. Catholics submit to the authority of the church and what the Holy Spirit has done through the church throughout history. And Protestants deal with this philosophy that it's me and the Holy Spirit and me and my Bible, which really always kind of, you know, I think about that one time. How come it's not the Holy Spirit in me or the Bible in me? Who goes first in that formula? Me and the Holy Spirit. Me and the Bible. That's not how we approach things. That's subjectivity. It has no bearing on objective revelation. This is what these women were fighting against. So when you see these women die for this cause, what is the cause? We're going to do what the church says, no matter what the government says, and no matter what that may cost us. This is the reality of their lives. And now we have to do it, but we do it on a much lower level, but it's nonetheless the same thing. You know, it's really kind of sick to think that these three ladies, these three Catholic housewives, went to their death for the faith. And we're living in a day where there are, let us just say, everywhere we look, Catholic hierarchs who sell out the faith. They sell out the faith to the world. They sell out the faith to the other religions. We just need to get along. We don't stand firm for anything because that makes people mad. That offends people. Obviously, these three ladies offended their government. They offended the people that lived around them because they did not fall into this mode where they let their citizenship dictate their faith. I mean, that lives on to this day. This is an interesting, one of those few feast days where it's an ordinariate memorial, but it's not a, you don't find this in the lectionary in the Roman Missal. You don't find it in the old missal either. This is a pretty specific ordinariate. It's one of the few, but it's specific and rightfully so, because I mean, it makes a huge point. We do have in the old, we have the English martyrs that day, but they set in the ordinary, we set these women aside because of the presentation that there is there. They deny the wisdom of the world. You know, they fought against this, again, their citizenship. And they were citizens of heaven before they were citizens of England. But I mean, to this day, this continues on. To this day. What are Anglicans? They are members of the Church of England. I always wonder, the Church of England. You know, the last time I looked, we were supposed to be Christians, right? And be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. But they're the part of the Church of England. And they love that. I'm English, so I'm an Anglican. I actually heard that come out of a man's mouth one time when he was confronted about when we were getting ready to do the transition thing. I got up and sounded so eloquent in it. He was actually from England. Actually, he said, I was born an Anglican. I'm living an Anglican and I will die an Anglican. And I was hearing, I was born out of the church, I'm living out of the church, and I will die out of the church. That's what he was saying. Because Jesus only instituted one, and it wasn't the Church of England. This is what these women fought against. It doesn't matter what you're, English, German, Chinese, from Brazil. It doesn't make any difference what you are. You should be members of the Church of Jesus Christ that he established, which means Catholic. This is what these women died for. The word of the cross. It's kind of interesting. Pay attention. I always say pay attention to what you think, the word of the cross. What do you mean the word of the cross? Again, that can kind of lend itself to, well, I talk about it. I talk about the history. I talk about the theology behind it. I talk about the word of the cross, literally. There was a feast day last week, St. Philip Brennisi. St. Philip Brennisi, actually, on his deathbed, he asked for his book. And some people that weren't aware or that close with him, they were like, what? They're like looking on his shelves. What? The Bible? No, my book. He was dying, so he's not thinking. He said, no, I want my book. And one person came into the room that knew it. He wants his cross. That's what he used to call the crucifix, his book. The word of the cross. You live the word of the cross. This is St. Philip. So this concept of the word of the cross, when martyrs die for the cross, they are writing the word of the cross in their own blood. This is what they did. This is who they are. That first reading today about these virgins, these wise virgins, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. When we took these three virgins, a lot of people read that because our Lord does make mention of watching a lot. When he says watch, I always emphasize this, he does not mean passively. But when you look at this, this particular gospel passage in this parable, we don't see watch. What we're looking at is foresight. This is what I mean about it cannot be passive watching. You can teach anybody to pass. I've taught my dogs how to passively watch. I tell it, sit, stay, and they do. That's watching. That's not active. All right. You can teach anybody to do that. Active watching for our Lord Jesus Christ to come is to know what you're going to get in the future, not what you're going to get now. And even if you know, and it isn't pleasant, like dying here, you face that almost nonchalantly, because you know what you're going to get in the future if you're a person of faith. This is what these saints, they looked forward. They had foresight. They looked forward to heaven, and it doesn't matter what they had to deal with. Margaret Ward, she knows a priest who gets arrested. And of course, if you're a priest and you get arrested, you're a traitor to the Church of England. So you get tried and you get all the horrible things that they did. It would be bad enough if they just hung you. They did horrible things, particularly to priests. So, you know, she actually, I mean, you talk about malice aforethought on her part, malice toward the Church of England. She actually befriended the jailer's wife. And after she became friends with her, she was like, oh, I like to visit the prisoners because the gospel says we should do that. Yeah, even Anglicans get into that part. Yeah, visit the prisoners. So she starts showing up at the jail all the time. So the jailers are kind of like, okay, whatever, it's just Margaret or... And she comes one time and she brings a rope in a basket and gives it to the priest and he climbs out the window. That's why you see, if you see images of St. Margaret Ward, she's always holding a rope. You know how people hold, you know, a lot of the martyrs, they have the different ways that they died. Hers is a rope. Not that they hung her, but they, you know, but it was a rope that she brought in that started the whole ball rolling on her. The priest, maybe he was a good theologian or anything, but he wasn't too prudent. He left the rope hanging in the window, and when they found it, they traced it back to Margaret Ward, trying to figure out how that. So she gets arrested for 8 days straight. 8 days straight, they hung the woman by her wrists and flogged her for 8 days straight. She would not recant. On the eighth day, she thinks they're going to do it again, and they waltz her in a room, and they say, hey, check this out. No, it's been real rough on you, hasn't it? Well, check this out. If you just say that you're going to join the Church of England, and you sign this paper, you'll just start going to services at the Church of England, we will let you go. Can you imagine enduring something like that for 8 days? And then being at the opportunity, we're just going to let you walk. We will just let you walk. Just sign that paper. You know, it's like back in the day when it would just pinch the incense. You know, don't even actually throw it in there. Just act like you're pinching the incense. No. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. She dies. This is the word of the cross. This is the wisdom of the wise, because she's Saint Margaret Ward now. And she will always be. She had the beatific vision. So again, this foresight of what we're going to get, it really makes everything in this world should pale to insignificance. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And the best way you can preach Christ crucified is to be just like Him. That's why we venerate the martyrs so deeply in the church. This is why Christ chooses people who they confound the world. Like I said, why does the ordinariate set these three women aside? Just because of that. There are three faithful Catholic wives, mothers, and as much as wives and mothers love their homes and love their kids, love Jesus more. This is what they did. They preached the gospel with their very lives. They manifested the wisdom of Christ. So, you know, when we talk about the gospel and living our life of faith, you know, there's a whole lot of people who know they're very, very book smart about catechisms and this and that. And that is tremendous. Praise God for them. We should all deepen our knowledge of the faith. But it cannot be a speculative knowledge. It can't be a knowledge, well, maybe someday, or that's not what it should be. It should not be a speculative knowledge, but a practical wisdom that ponders homage that our Lord is due, and then consequently obeys his will. This is what he wants from us. Again, it's nice if he can answer questions, and that might be a couple tick marks at the judgment. But at the end of the day, it's not what you know about our Lord Jesus. It's about you, how you live. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.